with the Warriors leading the Trailblazers 2-0 in the Western Conference semifinals. And Game 3 set for Saturday in Portland. This Warriors practice report coming to you on this Thursday. I'm Lawrence Scott, and after practice, we heard from Klay Thompson, Coach Kerr, and others. But we start with Klay, who spent his childhood in the Portland area. He shares his thoughts on heading back to Oregon, this time for the playoffs, and gave a restaurant recommendation for fans who might be heading to Portland this weekend. That's today's tip-off.
Yeah, I grew up there. I know all the good spots to go eat. I got a bunch of family, and you know, I was very fortunate to grow up going to that building a lot, watching the Blazers play. So let's go back to the Moda Center, what it's called now is, yeah, I still think of it as the Rose Garden. It's special for me, and you know, I never thought I'd be playing the playoffs up there as a kid, so it's going to be a great moment for him. I'm going to enjoy every minute of it.
Can you give us a good restaurant recommendation?
Got the best burger, it's the best fast food in the world, Burgerville. I got the best cheeseburgers. It's unbelievable. I won't eat it till the end of the trip, though, you know, because I'm on a strict playoff diet.
All right, more with Klay in moments, but now we listen into what Coach Kerr had to say after practice.
Steph today.
He did not practice with the team. He's ramping up things in the weight room, and he did get on the floor on the side while we were practicing. So he was on one court going through some movement stuff, but still hasn't practiced with the team yet.
How much does that decrease the chances that he plays on Saturday?
What day is it? Thursday? Yeah, probably not.
Getting him 3-on-3, was there any of that today, or was it maybe even yesterday possibly for him?
3-on-3?
Yeah. No. He just he was on one side of the court, we were on the other.
So, but you had said that would be the next step, right?
Yeah.
And is there a potential that he could do some of that?
I guess he could. I haven't talked to the trainers yet, but okay. He wasn't ready to do that today.
Did you see film work today, Steve? Little extended period for practice, or did you do some extra?
Yeah, a lot of film.
A lot of film today, just going over game two. Portland made some adjustments and did some things that bothered us. So we looked at those things and talked about the things that we might do differently. So it was a good session.
That game, generally thinking, and even after the film work, you did some good things and you're happy with it, or were you pointing out some of the things you didn't do well and wasn't such a great game?
Both. Yeah, I mean, obviously we had a tremendous fourth quarter and our defense tightened up, but they took it to us for the first half for sure, and excuse me. And they were the aggressor. They took us out of our rhythm and our flow. So there was some of both on the film session.
In what way were they the aggressor? What were the things they were doing to disturb?
They were just playing harder. They were getting into us defensively. They were not letting us cut and screen like we were able to in game one. And that's generally the case when you talk about the aggressor. It starts at the defensive end. I thought they were fantastic defensively in the first half.
It seems like offensively they moved the ball more too. There was a lot less one-on-one or two man advantage.
They're one of the best teams in the league in terms of ball movement and rhythm. And they really played their game, did a great job in that first half. And it took us a long time to really get our footing in that game. The third quarter, we had our chances to really get back into the game because we were getting stops. We forced some turnovers, but we weren't converting. We didn't play a smart quarter. And I thought in the fourth, you know, that all changed.
Early in the Houston series, Efesus was a little too frantic, specifically offensively.
He was very rusty. He was not—he was not in rhythm in the Houston series, and that was a concern. And it's one of the reasons we went to Anderson in Game One. You remember in the Houston series, we were playing McAdoo in the first few games in that role. So we got a lot of guys who we can go to for different matchups and different reasons. Obviously, Festus, with his athleticism and his presence around the rim, made a big difference in Game 2.
In the last game.
Well, he made a couple of good plays at the end of the third quarter, getting out on guys. I don't think his impact really showed till the fourth because we kind of botched the end of the third quarter. And so we were down 11, even, you know, though he had made some good plays. But then when we tightened up defensively in the fourth. Draymond took a couple charges. Festus challenged shots, made a couple blocks, whatever. You could see we had the momentum.
If Steph doesn't scrimmage tomorrow, does it become trickier? Because you obviously have this three-day break now, and now it becomes every other day starting Saturday.
Yeah, but we can also play him on a game day. He can play two-on-two with Theo and Luke and Jaren. And so we don't have to use our roster guys to get him work either. So we can try to figure out a way to test him.
So it's conceivable Sunday, if he could practice Sunday and then maybe shoot around Monday, you could see enough?
It's conceivable, yeah. It's tough to see him playing Saturday, you know. But it's conceivable that, you know, the good thing is he's gotten better and better each day with his rehab. And so now he's taking things out onto the court. So if that progress continues, then yeah, it's conceivable he could practice with us on Sunday and get some timing and rhythm and see how he responds.
With the lateral work he's doing, is he handling that load okay?
Yeah, everything's gone very smoothly. He hasn't had any setbacks.
Did you have a similar injury?
I tore my MCL in college, but it was in the off season, and I wasn't trying to rush back.
Steve, Clay has said it multiple times now about how you've talked about channeling his inner Reggie Miller. Is that become like a pregame reminder every game? Or
No. But I do think it's become more important with Steph's absence. You know, he has to move. He has to get the defense to bend in one direction, and we can either hit him coming off a screen or attack on the other side. And it's been amazing. And what I'm really pleased with is his drive and kick game too. You know, it seems like every game he's getting four or five assists, maybe one turnover. So he's doing a good job of attacking and passing.
Sean Livingston has been excellent throughout the playoffs, and in Game 2, we saw him deliver a 14-point night in the start with 4 assists and 4 boards, some clutch buckets too in key possessions. Here's Sean after practice.
We don't have, obviously, 30 points a game. You don't have your MVP out there. So it's just, from my role, it's just being a little bit more aggressive with my offensive game, playing more minutes, you know, just trying to get guys involved, but also be aggressive, keep attacking, and you know, just staying the same mindset I've had this season.
Obviously not the greatest circumstances, but at some level, how much fun has it been to play more, to be more involved as well?
Well, it's always fun when you win. You know, I mean, that's the most fun you're going to have. And then, again, that's all it's about for me at the end of the day. You know, we're getting wins. Everybody's contributing, you know, all the way down the line. So, I mean, it's enjoying the ride, but just, again, staying locked in.
Sean, do you see like the team has maybe even been more devoted to ball movement with you in the lineup, just knowing, you know, they're not going to have Steph to bail you out at times? I know guys have talked about that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a different game. It's a different game when Steph's not out there. You know, obviously, you know, we don't have the same spacing. We don't have the same shooting, you know, and the same playmaking to a degree, you know. So we have to rely on each other more, move the ball, more body movement, ball movement. You know, and just trust, a lot more trust, because we have to understand that it's gonna come out in the wash. You know, if we trust each other, everybody's gonna touch it, you know, and eventually over 48 minutes, you know, it'll play to our favor.
They stay attached to play better like they did in game 2. Where are the counters? Where are the things that have to happen?
Just us making reads, myself making reads, you know, being in the same, you know, staying in Clay's ear, being on the same page with him, you know, back cuts, you know, just kind of diversion plays. And then as well, all of us, you know, our screeners as well with Bogues and Draymond, you know, all of us being on the same page, you know, so we can just counterattack that.
Whether it's you or Dre that's on the ball, with your size, I would think back cuts with the passing lanes, you said, those are things that should be available.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Being able to see over the defense, that's an advantage I have using my height. So, you know, being able to make plays, whether he's back cutting or whether he's coming off the other side.
Sean, last game after you post up Lillard, and you seems like a little bit lose your poise. I don't think that happened a lot, you know, during a period of time. So what that happened?
I think it's more just being emotion into the game. You know, hitting big shots brings out emotion, you know. And, you know, we were going on a run, and we had been fighting all game. It was emotionally draining game just because we were trying to get over the hump. So I just think it's being into the game.
Back to Clay. We pick back up with his take on what's key as the series shifts to Portland for games 3 and 4.
Obviously, it's a business trip. Treat it that way. Treat, you know, game 3 as a, I mean, you want to treat it as a must win just because, I mean, you have history on your side if you go up 3-0. And we know how tough it is up there to play, especially during the playoffs. So if we just go up there locked in and, you know, with the mindset of having to get one, we'll be in good shape.
Clay, you talked the other day about how you've expanded your range somewhat, and you said that you watch Steph take long shots in practice and stuff like you've tried. Is there something to that? Have you actually made a conscious?
Yeah, I've actually practiced it. I mean, 4 or 5 feet beyond the line. Guys are gonna always guard you at the 3-point line, but you might be able to get a couple good looks a game from, you know, to 28 to 30 feet. And for a lot of people, that's a bad shot. But for, I mean, guys like me and Steph, we're in rhythm, and you've made a couple. It can be a good look.
You and Steph sometimes inspire one another. You know, you look at the things he does. He looks at the things you do in terms of shooting.
I think so. I mean, you know, it's an honor for me to play with him, and it's a privilege, especially with his creativity with the ball. And I see how much he works on his ball handling and his vision. And it's motivating for me to expand my game in that aspect. So, yeah, I think, you know, we got a great working relationship.
And you think it sometimes works the other way, too, that he sees what you can do?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, I hope so, but I think he can do everything I can do, except maybe dunk. A couple dunks he might
maybe
not be able to do.
Yeah.
I'll try.
People talk about Draymond and his leadership. I know he's not the only leader on the team, but he's maybe the loudest or whatever. Can you give an example or two of what he does as a leader, what he does maybe in practice?
He's honestly like an extension of the coaching staff half the time. He's got a great mind for the game. He knows every play from every position on the court, and that's hard to do. So, he's like a point guard in a 6'7" body, you know, who can defend 5 positions. Such a unique player, and I mean, you see it every night. He plays with the same edge, you know, he did in November that he does now. That's what makes him so special. Is he mentally? He doesn't really take a night off.
And we don't see the practices, obviously. What's he like in practices? He sometimes.
He's vocal. He's never afraid to speak his mind, and we need that from him because he's got great knowledge of the game, and you know, he sees the floor so well for such a, you know, great player.
Finally, Festus Ezeli weighs in after a strong game 2, 8 points and 6 rebounds off the bench, and some momentum changing energy.
Well, I always know that I'm going to have a role on the team. I'm always ready. I'm always prepared. And he's been telling me since game 1 to just stay ready. Based on matchups and the way we've been playing, you know, just wasn't able to get me in there. But last game he saw fit to have me in there, and he put me in, and I brought energy to the team. So hopefully moving forward, you know, there's more situations where I'm needed.
Each game that you're, you know, back into this thing after being hurt and going through surgery, do you feel like you're making strides every game now? I mean, I know it's...
Yeah, no, it takes a little while, but, you know, the injury's behind me now, and just every time I'm on the court, I'm just trying to get that momentum, trying to get my rhythm back. But each game I'm making a lot of progress. I feel better. My teammates are helping me out a lot. You know, Draymond's been looking for me a lot, and, you know, playing with him is... He's, you know, playing with anybody on this team, really, but everybody gets out there on defense, so we cover a lot. We cover up for each other a lot, so it's easy for me to get my rhythm back their way. So it's been great being around these guys.
Festus, it looked like you were during the Houston series, you were maybe rushing a little bit, and feeling not as comfortable.
But like I said, yeah, I just came back from injury, so yeah, my time was a little off, and it's getting better every game. So I'm just glad to be getting back, and you know, this is a good time. This is winning time right now, so there's really no time for excuses. So. I needed to get back faster.
The small lineup gets talked about a lot with you guys as far as being successful and the things that Draymond can do and the guards as well. But I mean, one of the underrated aspects of this team is the big men, and the, all of you guys kind of bring something different to the table. Just how impactful is the way that everybody is used among that group?
This is a very versatile group of individuals. I think you know, the biggest thing, we can play any style of basketball, big, small, whatever it is, and we have guys, you know, Draymond is huge for us. That's the reason why we can play so we can play small, and you know, he's for his size, being able to rebound the way he does, being able to push the ball. You know, he makes us go on the small lineup. But on the big front, we have a lot of big guys. We have four big guys in Maurice Space, Bogut, myself, and Varejao that you know, are quite different. You know, we all bring different things, but we're pretty good at what we do, and it's just based on the matchups. You know, coach has a, you know, he has a plethora of weapons on this team, so it's just based on matchups how he uses them.
All right, Friday, the Warriors head to Portland for games 3 and 4 coming Saturday and then Monday with this Warrior Sound Practice Report. I'm Lawrence Scott.